Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to a new program we have here at the station. It's called Common Sense. And it's sponsored by High Valley Bank. And really glad to be back here on the station. Ryan, a beautiful fall day outside today.
It is. Get out of the office for an afternoon and come down and do a TV show. It's a great day.
Great football weather.
It is, finally.
How about those Buckeyes?
Hey, they look good.
They're trudging right along.
They do.
Heading hopefully toward...
I know. It's scary, I think, how good they could be. Although they're young, I think they could hit a roadblock a game or two, but... pretty impressive so far.
Yep. Coach Meyer's got to keep him focused.
He does.
Keep him focused.
Yep.
Big things ahead.
And I think he will.
I think he will, too. So anyway. today, a new program, kind of the pilot episode of it today. Like I said, Common Sense, sponsored by Ohio Valley Bank. And today, our guest is Chris Preston with Ohio Valley Bank. He's vice president there. He is in charge of branch administration and business development there at the bank. So welcome, Chris.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Glad to have you. Chris, why don't you start out by telling us a little bit about what you do there at the bank and some of the different responsibilities you have, and maybe a little bit of your history and how you got to where you're at with the bank today.
Okay, well, we'll start with obviously what I do, branch administration and business development. So I have three Ohio Valley Bank offices that report to me, Palmer, Ohio, Milton, West Virginia, and Barbersville, West Virginia. So I kind of oversee the day-to-day operations. I do have wonderful managers there, but oversee the day-to-day operations, both the loan growth and deposit growth. Another part of my job is business development, so being active in the community, obviously reaching out to different organizations to introduce them to Ohio Valley Bank and what we obviously have to offer.
Great.
My history, obviously I'm from this area. Grew up in Vinton, Ohio. Graduated back in 93 from River Valley High School. Was the first graduating class of that. Very proud of that. Ended up with Ohio Valley Bank in 98 and been there ever since, and been fortunate enough to kind of wiggle my way up the ladder, and the bank's had a lot of confidence in me and has given me an opportunity to help them out.
Great.
Awesome.
Great. Well, Ohio Valley Bank's been a great partner here to the community, and obviously, I think we were talking a little bit earlier, some of the employees who have become a part of the bank and have really grown as a part of not just the bank, but the bank as a family.
Yeah.
And a lot of employees that have been there a long time just because of that.
But I started with the bank, put my application in back at that time just because of the rich history we have and obviously the reputation we have and we've cultivated, and it's never changed since then.
Great.
Okay.
Great.
So I think today we're going to spend a little bit of time talking about credit, which is a big question for really everyone. I know Brad and I deal with, when we go out and meet with business clients, usually that subject always comes up.
Whether they want to talk about it or not.
Yes. And also, we do teach some classes on starting your own business and those things. And again, credit seems to be kind of brought to the forefront, and it's a subject that we spend quite a bit of time on, even when we're doing presentations. So
right.
Hopefully we can get some good information out today. I'm sure if folks have questions, they can contact their local lenders or your office specifically. But one question I think probably, I get it all the time, and we talk about it, is when you're talking with folks about credit, they always ask, well, why should I review my credit? And from your perspective, as a lender perspective?
Well, obviously the most important reason is for accuracy.
Mm-hmm.
You want to make sure that what is in your credit file is accurate, because of identity theft anymore is pretty prominent, and you have to make sure you're protecting your identity and your ability to get loans down the road. So you want to make sure that you're reviewing it annually to make sure that there's nothing on there that isn't supposed to be on there.
Sure. Okay. Yeah, it's and even sneaky things. I call them sneaky things, but I think I've used this example one other time on the show, but and we were talking about it at lunch as well. One time we went to Sears to buy something. They're like, well, if you buy the, if you open up a Sears card, you get 0% or, you know, for 90 days or whatever. So we're like, okay, we'll do that. Open it up. I didn't even activate the card. And like 6 months later, I get a bill in the mail for $800 and some dollars. And, you know, normally if I saw something from Sears, it would just be a rip it up, throw it in the trash. Just that one time I happened to check into it and somebody had charged that card, which I hadn't even activated yet. I don't know how that happened. But had I not saw that come through the mail.
Yeah, that's, I mean, obviously we're talking about identity theft there. There's so many things that you can do to obviously protect yourself from that. But and a lot of people think of Internet anymore as far as how they get your identity, but there's other ways they can capture, you know, the information you receive in your mail. If you're not properly disposing of that, or if you're not shredding that, then obviously they can capture that by digging through your trash. Everyone has tends to have a book of passwords. Obviously, if they get their hands on that, that is, that's a bunch of information they can pull off online and pretend that you're you. So again, another reason why you should obviously check your credit out to make sure that no one is acting as you and opening up any kind of loan products.
Right.
And if they got your password book, you'd have to rename all your pets.
Yes, you would. Or your children.
Or your children.
Or change birthday.
Or change birthday.
So you mentioned the importance of, you know, going in and checking your credit report on a regular basis and making sure that there's nothing on there that you're not aware of, or maybe something somebody else did that showed up on your report. But will that hurt your credit score if you do that? I mean, if you really go in there, how much can you safely do that with really without impacting your...
You're talking about you pulling your credit report?
Yes.
Okay.
And I guess another question, add-on question to that is, how could you do that?
Well, first of all, it's important to know that there are different ways of obviously getting your credit report pulled. There are what we call hard hits and soft hits or inquiries. A hard inquiry is going to be something like a financial institution that you've actually applied for credit. And we're going to, as a high value bank, we're going to obviously seek out to try to get your credit file and your credit score to see if it's something we can help you out with. You obviously want to make sure that you're not getting too many of those per year, because that could drive down your score also. But individually, as far as we talk about pulling up your own credit, that is what we call soft inquiry. So you can actually pull your credit report, and it doesn't hurt you at all. It doesn't even show that you've done it. So there are different ways. Your question was where you can do it. Different avenues. You can obviously go to the three credit bureaus that are out there, which is Equifax, Experian, and TransUnion. You can go straight to their website. There may be some fees associated with that. There's freeannualcreditreport.com you can go to. I personally use Credit Karma. There is no fee associated with that. They send me monthly emails. It lets me have an opportunity to go in and obviously review to make sure all the credit lines that are out there are trades is accurate.
Now, does Credit Karma, they supply your credit score as well? Is that
they do. They do, but you have to understand that it may not transition over into your creditor that's obviously trying to pull your information.
Sure.
So it's not the end-all, be-all number, but it gives you, more importantly, the body of the credit report is what you're looking at to make sure it's accurate.
Okay. And the Credit Karma, is that a free service?
It is, yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And you mentioned the three reporting agencies, Equifax, Experian, and TransUnion.
Mm-hmm.
Do all banks use all three? Do some banks pick which one they want to use?
It really varies on the institution. We use TransUnion to pull our installment loans, such as car loans and things like that. When it comes to the mortgages, we pull what we call Tri-Merge, which is all three. So if someone was to report, like if High Valley Bank only reported on TransUnion and Equifax, and we were to pull Experian, we don't have the full picture.
Right.
So when it comes to mortgages, we pull what we call Tri-Merge.
Okay. And each company figures as creditors, comes up with credit scores or determines a credit score just a little bit differently probably.
Yeah, they kind of follow the basic principles, but there is some slight variation between their percentages of what they obviously want to put in to drive their credit score. An example, I did some research with TransUnion, and 35% of their particular score is from payment history. So how well do you pay? 30% is the amount that you owe the lender, so how much debt do you really have? 15% is from the length of the credit history. So, and a lot of people have the misconception is, I want to get it and pay it off early. Well, sometimes that hurts you more than it does help you. So it's important to keep that longevity too.
Mm-hmm.
But you also have to weigh out, you know, do I want to pay more interest on the loan, or is it better for me to obviously build my credit?
Right.
So that's a good question to ask yourself. And then 10% is the types of credit trades, whether it's a credit card, installment loan, mortgage. Obviously, you want to see some kind of mixture, a blend of those, if you will. And then, of course, the last 10% is any kind of new accounts that you have. And what you may find is with TransUnion, that's their methodology. When it comes to Experian, they may say, well, 5% of it is new accounts and 15% is somewhere else. But they all have a similar system in play that kind of complements
each other. Sure. So when you do pull, if you do get your score from the different agencies and it's not the same as a consumer, it's nothing to be panicked about. It's just how they calculate. It's their own formula.
Yeah, you may have, again, a 700 score on TransUnion, a 685 in Experian, and a 650 through the other. So the important thing is what's in the body of it. That's going to obviously factor in for those scores.
Sure.
Okay. So, you know, one of the things that, you know, we've heard a lot of, and, you know, you always kind of get advice from everybody everywhere about, you know, how to improve your credit, how to make things safer. You know, a lot of times people will push you to open more credit accounts, more credit card accounts, obviously through promotional offers and things like that. But, you know, then they say, well, you've got more available credit. That really should help build your credit if you're paying those off. But then it also really kind of opens up your risk for, you know, credit debt. And, you know, if you can have more debt and sometimes even identity theft. You've got more open portals out there that people can attack.
Yes.
So what's your recommendation as far as, you know, maybe the number of different credit cards somebody should have?
I buy into the 2 to 4. Again, it depends on who you talk to. Some people will say more, some people say less, but 2 to 4, because that helps maintain your credit. It doesn't put you in a situation that if you have 10, you're only using 2 anyways. For the identity theft purpose you talked about, if it's outside, out of mind, someone could tap into that information, run some debt, and obviously hurt you down the road.
Right.
You talk about as far as multiple, one thing you have to be concerned about is, again, the amount of exposure you have when it comes to how much debt you can run up. That obviously can be seen as a risk to the bank or the credit score in particular, so you don't want a magnitude of potential debt you can run up. But you also have to be conscientious of, obviously, your ratio from your balance to what is available to you. So the credit report or credit bureaus, they want to see you at a 30% threshold on your credit line. So what I mean by that is if you had a $5,000 credit card and you owed $2,500 on it, you still have available to draw $2,500 on it, but you're at a 50% threshold. That actually is damaging your credit. What you want to try to maintain your credit is to keep it that 30% ratio. So that's either you're reducing the debt that you owe or increase the available line. Again, you have the conscientiousness of not getting too much debt out there, because that also bring you down. But if you can hold between that 30% or under, of course, the lower percentage you get, it actually will start helping your credit file.
Okay. So when you use those numbers, let's say $2,500 on a $5,000 credit, is that an unpaid balance amount that you're carrying over? Is that what they look at, or just the monthly activity?
Yeah, you can. It's basically, well, the credit file is a snapshot of where you're at today. So it changes every month.
So even if you pay it off every month,
exactly.
If they look at it and they see that you've got $6,000 on your $7,500 card,
you're
at a high risk,
yeah.
Even though you have a history of paying that entire balance on a monthly basis, you're still viewed.
Because if you paid it off on a monthly basis, it wouldn't show a balance on the credit report.
Well, it depends on when you paid it and obviously when it was pulled.
Looks like.
So if you just charge $6,000 on a $7,500 balance and I pull your credit today, your score in essence could be lower.
Sure.
But if you paid it off tomorrow and I pulled it tomorrow, so zero, and you have $10,000 available or $7,500, mm-hmm. then obviously your credit is better. So again, the credit file is a snapshot of where you're at in any given time in that day.
Okay. So if a company does want to increase the amount that you have on your card, it's probably a good idea to let them go ahead and raise that amount so you can keep your ratio.
Just understand that, obviously, you could pay more interest.
You could.
So it's a double-edged sword.
Right.
What do you want? What's most important to you?
Okay.
You know, another thing we talked about at lunch is your credit, not only banks. Banks aren't the only folks that will look at your credit. I know insurance companies now are going to credit-based payment structures.
Yep.
you know, applications for jobs. A lot of times they'll pull your credit. What else? I mean,
well, and not even banks, you know, as far as the ability to get a loan, but the interest rate that you'll receive is also impacted by your credit score as well.
Yeah, I think a lot of people have a perception of credit's not important unless you're trying to borrow money. But like you said, I mean, my insurance premium is partly come from, obviously, my credit worthiness. So where I have a decent credit score, I actually pay less premiums.
Right.
Employment, obviously, if you was to go to get hired somewhere, they may pull your credit, so they're going to see where you're at and how well you can handle yourselves. Renting anymore, landlords will pull you, obviously,
right.
and see if you're worthy enough to rent to. And if you don't have a good credit history or decent, they may not even rent to you. So
sure. Okay. You mentioned earlier the body of the credit report. Can you explain, for those folks that may have never seen one or are pulling it for the first time, if they were to pull it, you know, I'd know what it looks like because I was an ex-commercial lender. Brad's seen them working with businesses. Mm-hmm. But for a lot of people out in the communities, they've probably never seen a credit report of their own. So what information is included in their credit report, and what are some things that they should look for accuracy, as we talked about earlier?
Well, obviously, there's going to be social security numbers, addresses, even employment history is going to be on there. So that's one thing, obviously, you'll look for accuracy. Your trade lines, which is loans. It could be credit card, bank loans, whatever it is. Anyone who's pulled you, inquiries will also show on there,
yep.
too. So, you know, when you're looking down through there, you're looking for not only is the company that has they reported you, is that accurate, but the balance is on there, the available balance versus what you owe, the payment structure is on there, as far as is it for 15 years, is it for 5 years, your payment amount is on there, and also your delinquency. So if you had a delinquency over 30 days or 60 days, 9 days, it actually shows on there, even if you're currently delinquent now.
And it'll hold those for it'll show during the life of that loan, and if not, even farther than that.
Yeah, the delinquencies will run up to about 7 years.
Yeah. Yeah. So if you were 60 days past due on a loan 7 years ago, odds are today, or 6 years ago, odds are we pull the credit report, it's going to show on there.
Now, the good thing about the length of time that we're talking about, every month that goes by, it actually hurts your credit less and less. So
right.
it can improve and will get better as you continue to pay your bills better. But, yes, it'll hold that snapshot of a delinquency for a good while.
Mm.
Right. Okay. Yeah, one thing I've often talked with business clients, and we've talked about getting loans and the importance of your credit. One thing that a lot of different people battle with, and whether it's and it a lot of times it's not even their ability to pay the debt, but the principle of the debt or the thought of why the debt is even there, unpaid medical bills,
yeah.
or co-pays
well.
that
yeah.
you know, just sometimes even $20-$30 amounts. That, you know, we as individuals say, you know what, I don't owe that.
Yeah.
I'm not paying it. I don't care. It may have been a $7,000 or $8,000 bill to start with, and everything was covered, but just a small amount. And I'm standing up for that, and I'm not paying it.
I'll
that gets turned over to collections.
And, you know,
so
when you're working with insurance, too.
What does that do to your
yeah.
credit?
Okay, there's several questions here. So let's try to field what we can.
Scenario.
Okay. Well, I'll give you a scenario I had with a customer years ago, and he had a situation with a creditor that, same situation. He was just upset because the delinquency he was reporting him was not his, and it had like 50 delinquencies over 30. And I told him, I said, listen, you have two options here. You can either keep doing what you're doing, and you're obviously your credit file will stay where it is, or you have to bite the bullet and get it paid off and get it released. So down the road, you can obviously bounce back and get
right.
Get your credit file back in line.
So maybe even a $20 dispute, what we just
right.
talked about
yeah.
with your insurance premiums being based on that, interest rates that you pay on loans being based on that, can really cost you hundreds of dollars
yeah.
in the long run just because...
Yeah, because if it's driving your Beacon score down or FICO score, the scoring unit, it's obviously going to impact what loan rate you're getting. So
right.
That $20 item that you're fighting for may cost you thousands of dollars on a car loan because
right.
your interest rate's jumping 2-5%.
So if you have, let's say, just a small credit card debt that's maybe $100 that's unpaid, that's delinquent, versus your mortgage that's unpaid that's delinquent. Do those equally impact your score as equal hits, or are some hits bigger than others?
Well, obviously a delinquency is a delinquency.
Right.
And more importantly, it's the time frame in which it hits. So if you're currently delinquent, then it's going to impact you heavy.
Right.
The further you get behind whatever delinquency it is, it's going to impact you less. Now, I'm not saying it's going to jump 50 points from one month to the next, but the more time you get behind delinquency, the better off you're going to be.
Okay.
I would like to talk about the collection issue, because sometimes bad credit happens and no fault of your own, like we talked about. Maybe the insurance payment didn't get the notification they need to pay it off in time,
right.
So the collection actually hits you. They will impact you just like anything else. So.
Utility bills, phone bills.
Mm-hmm.
Unpaid.
We talk about inquiries. If you want, if renting is not important to you as far as credit, what about cable? What about internet?
Yeah, cable, sure.
Cell phone provider. They're all potentially pulling to see what kind of down payment they're required from you.
And we talked, hit on it earlier about the difference between a hard inquiry and a soft inquiry. I always have a hard time saying that word, hard being when you're going to the bank and actually applying for a loan. Soft being when insurance companies pull it, they get a score. When
Pre-approval credit cards.
When those things come in the mail, those do not affect your score. Is that
correct? And again, if you pull your own, it's not.
It doesn't affect.
It's not going to impact you. Yeah.
Yeah. So the utility, something else to maybe we should hit on too is student loans. If those go into deferment, and obviously you need to notify someone that does. That doesn't always happen. Now you've got outstanding loans, student loans on the credit report.
Yeah, obviously the credit bureau doesn't know if you're in school or not.
Yep.
So if you don't make the appropriate contact with the organization, then they're going to report you delinquent. Again, a delinquency is a delinquency. So if you're late, you're late, and the credit score will drive down.
Yeah.
Well, I guess last but not least.
Got to ask it.
This whole credit and credit problems, and obviously
what it can lead to,
and where we don't want to be, but sometimes it happens, is bankruptcy.
Yeah.
And what, from your experience, do you see? If somebody files for bankruptcy, what does that do to their score? And maybe what's the quickest pathway, or what's their expectancy of getting out of that type of a situation?
Well. A bankruptcy is going to impact your score really poorly if you've got good credit before. If you have delinquency and you're already kind of down there, it's not going to impact you much. But it's going to be a harder way to climb back.
Right.
So you obviously you have to get past that, and you can get past that. But you have to get past that, and it's not to say that people won't lend to you. It's just you'll lend to you at a potential higher rate. So you're going to be punished. Mm-hmm. By getting the loans at a higher rate, and you've basically got to, build your way back up, which you can,
right.
And get yourself in a more lendable situation with better rates.
Sure. And those stay on for?
Up to 10 years.
Up to 10 years.
Bankruptcy.
Yeah. Okay. One question some folks may have, and I get asked this a lot, and I'm sure Brad does too, is, okay, we did look at the credit report, and we saw that insurance bill out there, the hospital bill or the utility bill from 10 years ago. If someone finds something like that, what's the best actions they can take to get to remedy that situation?
Well, on the credit file, it'll have a case number and potentially the telephone number, which is where you want to start with.
Mm-hmm.
So you can always dispute it through the credit bureau. So if it's pulled through TransUnion, then obviously you can go to a TransUnion and dispute it on their website. But the quickest way is probably to start with the individual or company who obviously attached that to your credit file.
And to get documentation from that company.
Absolutely.
That you can have on hand in case you go into a bank and say, listen, I took care of this 5 years ago. They didn't take it off.
Yeah, and it's even, we talk about foreigner and credit report, even if you found that out and got proof back from the company, they're quick to put it on there, but sometimes
exactly.
You're not quick to take it off there.
Exactly.
So if you have that documentation, you could submit that to the credit bureau too and help expedite that process.
Yeah, I actually worked with a client, the exact scenario. They had three or four things that happened 10 years ago that were still out there that just were never taken care of, and they didn't think about it.
Yeah.
Now, they had documentation from the company, but they didn't take care of it through the credit report.
Which is great to have the documentation.
Yeah,
they
so
could
we
still
could
follow
take
up.
It to the lender, and sure, everything was okay. And they were minor things, but enough to
think a little bit.
Yep, just a little bit. So, and I know we've talked a lot on the downside of credit, but on the good side too, good credit scores, or maybe talk about the range in case someone does pull their credit report and they get a number, they can understand what that number means.
So the credit reporting is numbers are anywhere from 300 to 850. Okay. Obviously, 300 is on the low end. Mm-hmm. 850 is on the high end, although that's pretty hard to obtain. Good credit scores were around 700, mm-hmm. In and around there. After that, it's just a product of what mixture you've had in your credit file that actually helped boost it up past that and going
sure.
north towards 800.
Okay.
Good. Well, I know this October, OVB cares about their customers, and they really want to see them be successful. Are you doing some things? I see maybe you're having a Get Smart About Credit Day, a few activities around that.
Yeah, of course, you know, the Ohio Valley Bank prides themselves to educate not only our customers but our future borrowers and the community.
Mm-hmm.
So we are really engaged in the local schools to make sure that we're getting the next generation prepared to be smart about credit or financial needs, whatever it is. So we this month are obviously sprinkling in some credit information to help obviously get them ready. And we do that also in the elementary. We have Ventures in Credit, which has Sensibles, which is basically the superheroes in money, which is kind of cool. And then, of course, we just launched our new special, which is our Visa Platinum Card, which is a really smart card. And obviously, you can find information on that on our website and or stop in a local branch near you.
Okay.
Well, this is the subject. I know we could talk probably 2 hours. And like
absolutely.
I said, when we teach it, through our classes, it seems like this is the one subject that everyone has interest in and you spend the most time on. If anyone's out there today and they do have questions, you know, you're not generally a credit counselor, but how could, if they had questions, could they contact you? Could they is there someone at the bank or the...
Yeah, obviously I'm always available to answer any questions through Ohio Valley Bank, but any of our lenders are great lenders. They're educated, and they know obviously how to advise you going forward. And we do that with every client, whether we approve or deny them, sit down and look at their credit file to make sure that they're on track where they want to be and what we can do to obviously better.
Great.
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 All right. Well, and that's obviously, you know, credit's something that we do as well with the Small Business Development Center, and anybody would be, you know, more than welcome to give us a call, and we can work with you on those issues and
sure.
some of the business development issues as well. Get you ready to head to the bank.
And we'd like to give special thanks to Chris for joining us today. And, as I mentioned, I was a lender at one time, but it's always good to refresh and hear from another person what you think is right. And I know with credit it gets confusing, but we do appreciate you being here today. And
thanks for having me.
And maybe we can do it again.
All right. Well, thank you to everybody for joining us today, and we look forward to seeing you back here next month, same time.